Good morning, SP. Okay, I've been asked to share a little bit about how I pray. But just to say that that's just one example, because, you know, everybody has different ways of praying. And so I'll share a little bit, but hopefully it will be more about what Jesus said about prayer. So we will look at the main passage today would be from Luke 11, chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. Maybe we can just read this together, and then I'll start us off with a prayer. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees that one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." So he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And he said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on this journey, on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Amen. Okay, so before we get into the message, let's just pray. So, Father, we thank you, God. We thank you that, you know, your word is life. God, your word is the truth, and there is power in your word. And I just pray, God, that you will anoint my lips and just help me to share what's on your heart today. Help me to be faithful to your word. And I pray, God, that what I share today would not just be more information, would not be just more head knowledge, but let it come, let your word really speak to us. And I pray for a revelation that will ignite our hearts, God, with passion to know you, to engage with you, and to pray without ceasing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so then the next slide, if we can go to the next slide. Okay, so the verse 1, you can see, right, it says, so we're going to just start off with the context here. This verse that, you know, Jesus teaches, it's similar to the prayer that Jesus taught as part of his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. But in this passage, the context is that Jesus was praying, and after he's finished, one of his disciples asked him to teach them to pray. So Jesus is specifically addressing his disciples who have probably now witnessed Jesus' prayer life. And they, you know, it's interesting that they didn't really say, "Jesus, teach us how to pray," but it was like, "Jesus, teach us to pray." And I wonder if they witnessed that Jesus prays a lot, you know. And the Gospel of Luke actually highlights Jesus' prayer life and prayer in general more than all the other Gospels. And so I wanted to touch on a few points from Jesus' teaching on prayer, mainly from the Gospel of Luke. So the first point in verse 2, it says, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven.'" So in Jesus' day, the Jewish people did not particularly address God as their Father. God, I think, in the Old Testament was more portrayed primarily as the eternal king, ruler, Yahweh, Lord, God. not really Father, but here and in Matthew, Jesus specifically instructs us to pray Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. So Jesus viewed God as his Abba Father, the way a child would view his or her paternal parent that begot him. So when we talk about prayer, I think it's a pretty fundamental point that we are praying to God as our Father. He's our Father. And I know that not everyone has had great experiences with their earthly fathers, but fathers are supposed to take care of and provide for their children. So a question that I often like to ask people is, when you think of God, like, what's the image of God that you have in your mind or that comes up? So maybe just take a minute to ponder that question and see if there's anything that might come to your mind. So when I think of God, I think most often times I do think of God as my Father, and that is the actual image that I do have almost always. And specifically, it's actually the father in the prodigal son story. The father who goes out and just waiting, watching to see if the son is returning. The son that's ready to run to embrace the returning prodigal son. So that story is also found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. And many of you may be familiar with this story, but basically there's this father with two sons. The second son wants his portion of the inheritance now, you know, while the father is alive. Father says, okay, he gives it to him. So the guy goes out, just squanders his life and wastes everything, loses everything, and ends up in a pigsty eating with the pigs. And finally, he wakes up to his senses and thinks, you know what, I may as well just go back to my father's house, because even if I'm going to be a servant, at least I'll get to eat food, you know, like a normal human being. So if we go to the next slide, verses 20 to 24 of Luke 15. So here's the son. He gets up, comes to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet and bring the fattened calf. Kill it, let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. So this is actually often the image that I have of God when I think about him. And, you know, I think when we come to God to pray, when we come to the Father to pray in whatever shape or form, he's so delighted. You know, and the thing about this prodigal son story is that I know that I can go to the Father in my mess, in my brokenness. I may feel dirty and sinful and just unworthy, but I can still go to the Father because he's my Father. And because of Jesus, he's made this possible. He's made this relationship possible for us to have relationship with God as my Father, and I'm his child. So when we approach God, you know, I hope we can approach him as our Father. Now, my personality is such that I generally like routine. So even with my prayer life, I'm pretty routine. So I have my routine every morning, and so I pray every morning, and I have it's basically the same sort of prayer, and it's in my mind, so it feels like a little bit of a habit. But you know, I pray every morning, and then I also have prayer topics that I cover on a weekly basis. I might have like a Monday list, Tuesday list, Wednesday list, and so on. And then I'll read the scripture, and then on top of that, I'll pray the Lord's Prayer a few times. And I want to do all of these things in the morning before I go to work. So this can become a little bit religious, right? Some people might think it's a bit legalistic, and it is very routine. But it's not unlike some interactions that I have even with my kids, right? So in a regular week, a lot of the times they just, you know, their conversations with me might be, Mom, I have like A, B, and C tomorrow, so I need to take 1, 2, and 3. You know, sometimes it's not even a conversation. It's like they'll send me a WhatsApp message saying, you know, I have this end of year class party tomorrow. So do we have this? I have to take it. The implication being that I would need to pick that up on my way home, right? Sometimes they'll just say, yeah, I've got to go to my, you know, friend's birthday party. I don't have a present. So I'll have to go and pick that up now, right? So not exactly a riveting conversation, right? But I'm their mom. So I want to know this stuff. I want them to tell me what they need. I want them to be ready for whatever it is, right? So I want our prayers may also feel a little dry, a little bit maybe boring or routine, repetitive, habitual, whatever. I think it's okay. I think God wants to know. You know, if we being evil know how to attend to our kids, how much more? How much more will our Heavenly Father want to hear what we need, right? So, again, this is just one example of how I might pray, but, you know, everyone has different ways of prayer. So, for example, my husband, Jung, his deep and meaningful sort of prayers with God, he does it through writing. He has a prayer journal, and he writes to God. And so he's got that all saved. He types it all out, and it's saved in his folder somewhere in the computer. So that might be something that you might want to do. But then I like to go to a lunchtime prayer. And this is when I can go without a list or an agenda, right? And I just want to be still and listen and hear what the Lord has to say. And I'm actually not very good at this because I think it's become a habit that as soon as I sit down to pray, I feel like I have to, you know, get all this list of prayers out. So I have to be really intentional about staying quiet before God and just really, you know, try to have this conversation. But I don't always make it out to lunchtime prayer, right? It's sometimes I'm traveling, sometimes I have calls and meetings all day. If not going out to lunchtime prayer, it goes on for a while, and then I come back and I resume, it is so good. It's like, wow, I really missed this time, right, with the Lord. And I know not everybody can come out to lunchtime prayer, but, you know, if you can make that time, right, to just really spend with God, you'll find that you really miss those moments when you don't have those moments anymore. And I remember PSAM, I think several weeks ago, he also said in his preaching that, you know, he was running around so busy, and I think he had a dream or a revelation or something that God was saying that he misses him. And I'm like, yeah, I remember when he was preaching that, I was like, yeah, I totally get that, right? Now, like I said, sometimes our lives get really busy and I don't always make it out to the prayer times. But when our lives actually get busier and our responsibilities increase, that's actually when our prayer life needs to increase more, right? But often it goes the other way. And I remember I was having one of those weeks at work, and it was like so busy. And I just had so much deliverables that I had to get through and basically crank out. And I remember I was at work one day and I was feeling so stressed, and I can feel myself getting stressed and really frazzled. And I knew what I needed. Like, I needed to pray, right? And so, but I had to work through lunch, and then just right before lunch, I just got up. I said, time out. And I think I literally did that. I said, time out. I said, I got to go to church. So I come to church, and yeah, as usual, it's like so good. I come back to work, and I just felt that my mind was so clear. The next few hours was probably the most efficient time that I had in the whole week. I felt like I was getting a download, and I started typing, and I typed nonstop for the next few hours, and I just got the report done, like boom, right? And I didn't need AI for that, right? Yes, yeah, so, you know, just sometimes in our busy lives, we need to time out. We need to take time out. Time out from our busy life and time in God's presence, right? Make that time. And a great way to have your time out and time in God's presence is deeper still prayer and worship sessions. It's on. So you may have, you know, you've seen, you know, Matt come out and give announcements about that. And so just to let you know, it's on every Friday, every last Friday, just once a month, last Friday of every month. So you might want to lock that in. Unless otherwise notified, it will be on those days. And I especially if I've had a really long week, I so look forward to that time. To just come out and just worship. And it's not really structured the way that we have this church service where you have the praise and worship and sermon and prayer. It's actually really not very structured at all. And, you know, we'll worship and maybe we'll do corporate prayer, or maybe we'll break out into prayers, little groups to pray. Or sometimes it's just worship for 2 hours. And so some people may think, oh, it's kind of like not really getting anything out of it. Like, I'm not really, you know, there's no sermon. But the way I look at it is, when do you ever get the chance to do nothing but worship for 2 hours? When do you ever get the chance, even during your regular week, to set aside even a few minutes to worship? But God is worthy of this. God is worthy of this devotion and this time. And so I'm so thankful for the deeper still times of worship. And it can really, if you can make it out, it's just such a time of just waiting upon the Lord. Okay, so maybe we can go to the next slide. This is, this verse 2, verse 3 and 4, I'm actually not going to really spend time on these verses because I think we've had messages on the Lord's Prayer in the past. So we can go maybe to the slide after this because we will spend a bit of time on the parables that Jesus shares. Okay, so Jesus goes on to expound on how we should pray, right? So the verses 5 to 8 in Luke 11 and 8. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And so if you look at different Bible translations or you do a Greek word study of this word persistence, you know, you'll find that it's referring to shamelessness, you know, shameless audacity, importunity, impudence. And I like this one, unembarrassed boldness. Okay, so hold that thought, and then we'll go to the next slide, because we'll look at another parable on prayer that Jesus shared in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. Now he was telling them a parable that to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, in a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while, he was unwilling. But afterward, he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I'll give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she'll wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So in the first part of this, the implication is that the judge is not a good judge, right? He has no compassion. Wants to just ignore this lady's request, but he ends up granting what she wants because of her persistence. So this parable about the persistent widow and then the parable about the persistent neighbor in Luke 11 illustrate how we ought not to give up, right? But to continue to persist and be shameless in our prayers. So when I used to read these parables, yeah, I can see how Jesus is encouraging us to be like to be persistent. But I always got a little bit confused about the other characters, like the unjust. So maybe if we can do the next slide, about the unjust and uncaring judge, right? Or the reluctant and the grudging friend who can't be bothered to get up to help his neighbor. So I was always a little bit like, oh, wait, is Jesus comparing God to these, like, really horrible characters? I mean, I guess he's contrasting, right? He's making a contrast because, you know, God is a good God and he's just and righteous. But what about the times when you feel like you've been praying and you don't see the answer coming anytime soon? What about the times when things happen and you can't make sense of it? And there are things that happen in this life and I don't know, I don't have an explanation for that. Right? Maybe reading these parables made me realize that maybe sometimes at the back of our minds, we think, and maybe sometimes it's not even at the back, it's at the forefront, right? That we think that maybe God, he's like the reluctant, grudging judge. Is he like unjust and uncaring? Where are you, God? Are you even listening? Do you even care? Sometimes prayers are not answered in the way that we expect, right? So I go back to the question I asked at the beginning. What is the image of God that comes to your mind in your circumstances right now? Is he the grudging, silent, uncaring judge? Or is he the good father who's waiting and watching to see that you're returning to him? Are we struggling with who God is? Will you still believe? And so I think, yes, Jesus is encouraging us to be persistent, to be bold when we approach God, right? But if we view God like the unjust judge, then we will think that, yeah, if we pray more and if we pray harder, maybe then God will answer our prayers. But that's not the point, right, of these parables. I think Jesus is encouraging us. No, he wants to make the point that the God to whom we pray, he's actually a loving father. He knows what we need now, in this age, and in the age to come. So these people in these parables, they got their earthly needs met. But God, he meets our earthly needs and our eternal needs. So let's continue to sort of explore this as we go to the next slide. And we're looking at the final sentence in the Luke 18 passage. It says, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So you want to pay attention to these sentences when they have these transition words like therefore, however. And here the faith, so what is it talking about? And I don't think the faith here is talking about a belief in the existence of God, right? That even the demons believe and tremble, the Bible says. So again, for me, when I think about faith in this context, that the story again that comes to my mind is the story of Daniel's three friends in Daniel chapter 3. And again, some of you may be familiar with this story, but King Nebuchadnezzar set up this golden image and told everybody that they have to bow down to it, right? And Daniel's three friends refuse. And the king says, look, you better bow down to this golden image or you'll be thrown into the blazing furnace. And the king asks, if you don't bow down, who can save you? So Daniel chapter 3 from verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. And I think PSAM has preached on this passage before, and we call this faith like the even if not faith, And I think that the faith that is being referred to in Luke 18 is a kind of faith that holds on when things don't seem to be working out the way you expected. When things seem unjust and unfair, will you still believe in God's goodness and His faithfulness and the depth of His love? You know, in Daniel's three friends, right? If we go to the next slide. They said, God is able to deliver us. He will deliver us. But even if He doesn't, we're still not going to bow down to the false gods. So when they made this declaration, what do you think was going through their minds? And I'm just totally speculating here. But I wonder if their thinking was, well, you know, if God does deliver and we're saved, then hallelujah, we're alive and glory to God. But even if He doesn't, we'll graduate into heaven and we'll be with the Father forever. So, you know, essentially it's a win-win. Now, I don't know if this is exactly what they thought, but I do believe that they had full conviction that the God whom they serve is a good Father who will provide and protect and take care of them, whether in this age or in the age to come. They trusted God with their lives. And I think we need more of this faith. The faith that says, you know, God is able and He will. But even if He doesn't, I'm not going to bow down to the enemy's lies that says that God is not good, or that He's uncaring, or that He's unjust. That I'm not going to lose heart or give up. But I'll keep praying. I'll keep asking. I'll keep seeking. I'll keep knocking. I'll keep believing. Because of who God is. He's a good Father and He loves me. And He loves me more than I can appreciate. Now keep trusting Him and His faithfulness. My hope is an eternal good God. He's a good Father now and in the age to come. And so when Christ returns, will He find this kind of faith in you and in me? That we will trust in Him no matter what the physical evidence may look like. And so I want to end with this one final point. We'll go to the next slide. And that's the final verse in our main passage in Luke 11, verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So I want to illustrate this point again with Daniel's three friends, the story of these three friends. Daniel chapter 3, we'll read from verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated seven times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisers, "Weren't the three men that we had tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, Your Majesty." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and the royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him, defied the king's command, and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and the houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way." Amen. Praise God. I mean, we love this story, right? We love how it ends. We love how God delivered. But isn't it interesting that the way that God delivered wasn't just by putting out the fire? You know, he could have just miraculously put out the fire, right? That would have been a miracle. He could have miraculously changed the king's mind so that they're not thrown into the fire. But no, the fire is blazing. And the three friends are thrown into the blazing furnace. And at this point, the crowds that's looking, they're probably like, "Bruh, no God saving you now," right? There's a lot of young people, right, would say that. But they are not harmed in this way, in any way, right? Even though the fire is raging and they're like in the fire. Turns out that this is even more of a miracle. Why? Because God sends his angel, or some scholars believe it was pre-incarnate Jesus. So whether angel or pre-incarnate Jesus, God sends himself, right? His presence is with them. And I think they were protected because God was with them in the fire. He did not leave them in the fire themselves. God is with them in the fire. And there might be a fire right now in your lives. It looks like you may be thrown into a furnace. And you're wondering, why isn't God just putting out this fire? You know, why isn't God delivering the way that we're expecting? And it's not happening. But in the midst of it all, God our Father wants to give us the best gift, which is himself, by the presence of his Holy Spirit. So how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So, you know, the reality is that we will have tribulation in this life on earth. But the greater reality is that God knows and he will provide what we need to get through it. His Holy Spirit, his presence with us. He knows that we need the Holy Spirit to help us to stay, to stand to the end, to have this kind of even if not faith, right? Because that's not the kind of faith that we can drum up ourselves. It's when, I think when Jesus shares these parables, I don't think he's saying, "Oh, don't give up praying, you know, be persistent." Because, you know, if you pray hard enough and you pray long enough, you know, I'll come and answer. No, I think Jesus is inviting us. He's saying, don't give up. Stay in this relationship. Stay in this relationship with God. Stay in this relationship with your Father. Don't give up. And so today I want to I'll ask the worship team to come back up. I just want to spend a bit of time now praying. And if today through this message you feel that you need a fresh revelation of God, you know, you need a fresh revelation of God as your Father, you've never had that kind of image in your mind, you know, that God is your Father who's waiting to receive you, right, to embrace you if you come to him. Or if you feel like you've had a distorted image and you want to repent because you want to be set free from any distorted images of God that you may have had, You know, I want to invite you, and please feel free to come to the front, and we'll have our pastors pray for you. If you want to just stand where you are, we'll have our brothers and sisters around to come around you to pray. And I also want to invite all those who feel like you are going through a fire right now, and you could do with the presence of His Holy Spirit in your life. He will never leave us or forsake us. God is, He is truly, He is a good Father who knows and who will provide for us in this age an eternal life in the age to come. So if you want to accept this invitation that Jesus extends to come to the Father, please feel free to, as I said, stand where you are or come to the front. Thank you.
And I love you. Yes, I love you. Lord, I love you. Mighty love. Oh, and I love you. Yes, I love you.
I just felt like, the Spirit is moving through what Head-On shared. It's kind of put a burden and a desire on your heart to pray. And I want to share an opportunity, an invitation. Maybe it's for you. I know Head-On talked about the deeper still, but she's also the leader of the intercessory prayer team. And so maybe how to take those next steps is actually to join the intercessory prayer team, to have Head-On and other experienced intercessors, not just have someone to pray with, not just to do the will of God, but to learn from them, to have their guidance, support, to find that fervency and discipline to pray. And yes, I know what you're thinking, it's a commitment. But maybe, just as Head-On said, we need to time out some of the busyness, the things in our lives, and we need to time in the things of God. And maybe joining the intercessory prayer team where you've committed to pray for the church, hear from the Lord, seek His face every single week is exactly what you need. So I'm going to pray for us. And if you want to receive any, be ministered to at the end of service, invite you. The pastors are here just to pray with you. Also, we have the well team at the front on the left. If you have any physical ailments, they would also love to pray for you. But let's pray. Yes, Jesus, we thank you for your word today. For Head-On sharing her. And I feel like, we receive her passion and desire to pray to you, Lord. And it's more than just getting something. Actually, it's not even about that, a little part of it. But really, we pray, we worship. It's because we want to encounter you, Lord. We want to connect with you, Lord. And so, sometimes when we worship and pray to you, Lord, it's not about what we need to do. It's just we want to be with you, Lord. That's relationship, Lord. And we want to have a relationship with you that is meaningful. It's consistent. It's strong. And so, Lord, move us to really start to pray. Whether it be in desperate need, the small things, the big things, in everything, Lord, we would come to you to pray and share our heart, Lord. And we have faith as our as a revelation as our Father, Lord, that you care, you're capable, you desire good things, you're able to work the miraculous, not in just other people's lives, but in our lives, Lord. And so we thank you, Lord. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forward. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Invite you to come if you'd like to receive more ministry and you want to pray. Otherwise, please enjoy your Sabbath. We have refreshments in the back, complimentary coffee.